called the light. So we're going to hone in on a little phrase at the beginning of verse 5. If you keep your Bible open, have a look at that. The little phrase is, the light shines in the darkness. And because it's Christmas, just about still, we're going to see two presents that we can get from that phrase. Two presents that are there from the light shines into darkness. So let me pray for us, because otherwise we'll be wasting our time. And then we'll get stuck in. Father God, it is true that if we come to your word without your help, then we are wasting our time. But your word is living and active. It's written by people who are filled with your spirit, and you filled us with your spirit to understand it. So I pray that you'd send your spirit so that we can hear you, so that we can understand, and so that we can learn and grow and become more like the people that we're supposed to be. Amen. Amen. Great stuff. So first present, two presents. Light shines into darkness. Two presents. First present is the present of the world. You're all glad you didn't have to wrap that one. The present of creation. So what do you think of if I say, and I'm going to come across really dated and uncool here, and that's because I'm really dated and uncool. What do you think of if I say something along the lines of, wazza, with a tongue? What do you think of? What's the connection that you make? Budweiser, okay? You think of Sad Loser at the front doing something from the late 90s. That's all right. But we know it's Budweiser, right? Because it's within our kind of frame of reference culturally, even though it's not current. Or if I said, if I talked about He Who Shall Not Be Named. Whom? Voldemort. Okay, so again, Harry Potter, not exactly totally cultural now, but it's within our frame of reference, so we get that. I could even say about a guy I used to work with that he was a little bit He Who Should Not Be Named. Yeah, you can picture the guy, right? So those are cultural references now. This phrase, the light shines in darkness, you've got at the beginning of verse 5, it's just a cultural reference, but from ages ago. So when John writes, the light shines into darkness, all of his readers, Christian or not Christian, would have just thought creation. Just like we think Budweiser or Voldemort, they would have just thought creation of the world being made. So John references Jesus as light to show that Jesus was there at the beginning making the world with God, which we kind of know anyway, unless you weren't paying attention when the Bible was being read. Hey. Because we've got, if you open your Bible and have a look at 1-3, in the beginning was the Word, which is another name for Jesus, which we're not looking at today, or just now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. So this is the first thing not to miss, and it's really obvious. It's like Christian Sunday School 101. Jesus is God. We just had Christmas where there was loads of little babies in feeding troughs, and we all go, ah. And it's God lying there in the feeding trough. Don't not be blown away by that if you're a Christian. Don't stop being blown away by God. Came to lie in a feeding trough and then grew up and lived his whole life and died for you. Don't stop being blown away by that. But also don't take my word for it. I could stand here and tell you anyone was God. Take the Bible's word for it. Now you might not believe, you're probably all doing here, but there'd be some people out there that don't believe that he who should not be named is Voldemort, right? You could probably find them somewhere. And I figured they won't believe, I might have just thought of a third reason, but they won't believe that he who should not be named is Voldemort because either one, they haven't read Harry Potter. Okay, fair enough. Or two, they've read it, but they've kind of sacked off J.K. Rowling's ideas, and they've kind of read it with their own ideas and gone, well, I know J.K. Rowling's written a story that I could follow, but actually I'm going to make of this text what I like. And if you know anything about English literature, it's full of people that do that. And it's really annoying. Because there's a thing called author's intent, and J.K. Rowling wants you to know that he who should not be named is Voldemort. Okay, and maybe if you don't believe that Jesus is God, it's because, number one, you haven't read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read John's Gospel. Good place to start. Or number two, because, and this is the most frequent one, this is the one that's hardest not to do, is maybe you've read the Bible with your own agenda and your own kind of ideas. And just like maybe the person who doesn't believe that he who should not be named is Voldemort, they don't follow J.K. Rowling's authorship intent. She wants you to believe that. And that's why she wrote the book. And maybe we're not acknowledging God's intent when he wrote the Bible, using other people to do that. Or maybe the third one is, maybe you're just doing what my three-year-old has done most of today. We went to Magna this morning, and for a lot of that, he just went, no, 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 no. And maybe you're doing that. Maybe that's the third way. But that's up to you. You know if you're that guy or not. So the light. We're talking about the light. Jesus is God and he made the world. That's the first present. Flick to the beginning of your Bible to Genesis. Chapter 1, and we'll see it happen. Let's see it happen in action. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And you can see it happening. Just bear with me a couple more minutes and I'll show you some pictures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then verse 3, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was. Notice in verse 2, God made the earth, but it was without form, it was void and it was dark. It was like he made a blank sheet of paper. It was like a blank sheet of paper. There was nothing, and he made it, and then he filled it with light, with Jesus, with God. So here's what I did, being a primary school teacher, doing an all-age service. I gave some kids in my class a blank sheet of paper and I asked them to fill it. And here are three of them. Well, it didn't come out that well. It says, "I have drawn a dinosaur." And it is in fact a picture of a dinosaur. There we have it. It's got two eyes, some legs, a tail and spikes, all essential ingredients. This kid, I've taken their names off, obviously. It's quite hard not to say them, because they kind of jump off the page. This is a kid, lovable rogue, can't sit still. He'll do anything to not do work, including flicking children, throwing stuff, going under the tables, running out the room, having a wee. Anything to not do work. And I asked for volunteers to draw me a picture, and he was there doing it. Which is great. So anyway, that's the first one. Let's have a look at another one. This is someone... Sorry, these haven't come out that well. They came out well on my computer, but I don't know. Maybe this is... Bah. Yeah. This says, "Money is where you earn it from a job." Very moral. Then you spend it on clothes and food. Very sensible. And then you notice there's a full stop after food, because as an afterthought, this girl put... and chocolate, of course. And she's got a picture of £5 and some coins there, so a little bit of money. And that's very this girl. Fun is an afterthought. She's great, but fun doesn't come first. She's quite dour, quite sensible. She would be quite, "Oh, yeah, you get a job, you spend it on the mortgage, and then that's the end." Oh, fun. I forgot to have some fun. And that's the girl whose name I'm trying not to say. But again, you kind of getting to sort of see a little bit of her there. And then one more. See how this one comes out. Did you ever draw pictures like that when you were a kid, if you were a girl? I remember being at school and girls drew pictures like that. And I thought, I don't know why you're drawing pictures like that. You can see people. Why are you going to draw people when you could draw dinosaurs? But this girl, in fact, the girl on the left is the girl that did the previous picture, if that helps. wavy hair. She had the name, they're all her friends, so friends are important to her, and they're important to her because she finds it hard to hold on to them, like a lot of falling out going on there. She's written their names, you can see the remainders of the arrows above their heads where she's put their names on, and their bodies are quite little, and she's quite little in character, quite sort of diminutive, small, shy. And that was the other one. So that was the third one. And I reckon that if I got those three kids up here at the front, apart from losing my job and ending up in prison somewhere, you could probably match each kid to each picture. Because even though you haven't met them, you kind of just have met them a little bit, haven't you? And those of you who don't know them, which is all of you, you know kids like them, right? You can kind of picture the kind of kid that it would be. And that's because, I think, as I thought about this, that's because you can't separate the kids from their pictures, can you? And I know this, because I'm a parent, and above my mirror, in my front room, I have a piece of beige paper about this big, and it's got a red splodge on it. So it looks rubbish. What's it doing there? It's not a red splodge, it's a fire engine. And my three-year-old drew it. And it's great to have it up there, not because of what it looks like, but because of who made it. It's not just a red splodge, it's a fire engine. Doesn't look anything like a fire engine. So this is why parents hang pictures on their fridges that are awesome, little kids. The pictures are awesome. Your mums and dads love them because they love you. So then I thought, well, what happens then if I try to separate their kids from their pictures? If I just try to do that. So I tried to do that. I tried to look at the pictures and separate the kids from the pictures. And this is kind of where we got to. Yeah, because, you see, I was just left with a picture of a rubbish dinosaur with writing that I couldn't read. So I thought, well, that's rubbish writing. You couldn't read it, could you, when it came on? It's all very well saying that he crawls around the tables, but he's drawn a dinosaur. Why won't he do maths? Doesn't look anything like a dinosaur. I mean, you can't see it too well. You have to take mine and Jeff's word for it. Doesn't look anything like a dinosaur. You see, and again, you can't see it. He's got square legs. If I remove the child from the picture, I've just got a picture of a rubbish dinosaur. That's what I've made of it. Anyway, well, what about the next one? If I take away the child from this one. Money is where you get it, anywhere you can. I know this, because where I live, people drive big 4x4s, and I don't think they have a job. So, I'll leave it to your imagination where they're getting their money from. And it's where you spend it on cars and houses and beer, of course, and anything else you want. And she'd drawn a fiver and some coins and that, and bags of money. That's what you want. Forget her. That's what I changed it to. It's just sort of trying to just get rid of her from her picture. And then the other one. What's the last one? Oh, yeah, I remember the last one. She drew a picture of her friends, but I'm not keen on her friends. I like lorries, bicycles, road trips and music. So I just got some pictures off the internet and covered it over there. And you can see bits of her picture left. You can see a little pigtail coming out of someone's head. But other than that, I got rid of them. So what happens? What happens when I try to separate the kids from their pictures? Nothing good. Two things happen. The first thing is that we miss out on. Hang on, I've totally lost where I'm up to. Oh yeah, there we are. It's because it's really little. We miss out on seeing them in their pictures. Did you get that? First, when we looked through the pictures, in your little heart, you went, "Oh, yeah, because children's pictures." I've got children. Oh, I know children who've got pictures, and we could see what the kids were like. But we miss out on seeing them. You can't see what's her name anymore in that one, can you? You can't see what she's like from the picture. You can see a bit of how I've ruined it and a bit of what I'm like. I really do like those four things, by the way. I didn't make that up. But the second thing is, I've spoiled the pictures, haven't I? So they were really nice pictures, but I've wrecked them. They're not their pictures anymore. So if we go on to the next one, which you probably won't be able to see too well either, this is just a smaller version of the girl that likes money is where you earn it from a job. You remember her. Money is where you earn it from a job, and you spend it on food and clothes. And chocolate, of course. Hey, hey. And a little bit of money. And you can see that. You can see her in that picture. But in the other picture, I've spoilt it. I've removed her from it. And in the same way you can see, or rather, in the same way you see what my kids were like in their pictures, and you got an idea of what they were like, you can see what God is like in his present of creation, because he made it. It's a simple point, really. God made the world, and we can see what he's like by looking at it. The kids made these pictures, and we can see what they're like by looking at them, or any kind of artwork or music, really. It carries a bit of their person. And in fact, you can't separate God from the world that he made any more than you can separate the kids from the pictures that I've drew. So guess what I thought? What happens if we try? What happens if we try to separate God from his world like we try to separate kids from their pictures? Well, the same two things happen, really. The first one is we miss out on God in his world. It's just the world. It's just the world. Sunrises, sunset. Sunrises, sunset. Homer Simpson quote. It's just the world. In fact, this is called Low Sunday, right? Apparently. So here we go. This is my Low Sunday bit. If we separate God from the world, this is what it's like. It's flat, dull, empty, miserable, hollow, shallow, and depressing. Now, you're sitting there thinking, oh, that's a bit bleak. But you know the moments in your life where you're sitting there thinking exactly that. Where you're thinking, there's nothing here. I've got nothing. So what do? We put things in there. Usually we escape from that kind of reality, don't we? We escape in whatever way it is. We try to forget. We try to ignore it. But we can't. And that's why there's about a million quotes to choose from on the internet of rich, famous, successful people who have had success beyond your wildest dreams, more money than you could ever manage to spend. And what do they say when it gets to the end of their life? They go, I'm still not happy. Because they're doing life their way. They've taken God from his creation. And it's just the world. It's just a load of money and a load of stuff. Well, the second thing that happens, that's the first thing that happens when we remove God from his creation. We miss out on having God in his world. The second thing is his world is spoiled. And it doesn't take a genius to see that, does it, if we look around. Our rejection from God and from his creation has messed up the world. We've got war, we've got hunger, we've got poverty, we've got sadness, and of course we've got death, haven't we? And Rome, it says in Romans 1:21, although we know God, because we do, deep down, there'll be some people here tonight, probably, and if there's not, there's people who you work with who go, there is no God, there is no God, I don't believe in God. And it's almost, you know, it's kind of like, I'm convincing myself. The Bible says, and we know from our own experience, if we're really honest with ourselves, deep down, there is a God. It just makes sense. You can fight it as much as you want, but it just makes sense. I'm confident to tell you that, because the Bible says so. And because it's my experience too. It says, the Bible says, Romans 1:21, although we know God, we neither treat him as God, nor say thank you for all the good things he gives. Instead, we do things our own way. And our hearts are darkened. That's Romans 1:21. Well, how's that working out for us as a world? How's it working out for us as a culture in the UK? How's it working out for you? I'm going to play you a bit of a video interlude now of a song that picks up on the idea of taking God's first present of creation, Jesus' present of creation there, and rejecting him from it and seeing where it gets us. And this is kind of how it might be played out in a school setting. So have a look at this. The words should be up to follow and see if any of this sounds familiar.
Most honorable superintendent, I prepared my report, and to the best of my abilities, I will share my thoughts. By the time I get through describing the situation, I'm confident that you'll follow my recommendation. What I write is describing a crisis. I've never in my life witnessed a high school like this. That's no exaggeration. Only a wild imagination can fathom congratulations at a graduation. I don't know if they're smart or not, but before I could start to jot, I saw some students in the parking lot sparking pot. I reached the front entrance before I got in the door. My nose was greeted by the smell of urine on the floor. Up the corridor, I heard a faint roar. Reached back and thought my wallet in my pocket just to make sure. My heart was unsettled and restless as I quietly observed the ghetto inspectors with metal detectors for fear of gun carriers. All out hysteria, blockades and barriers in various areas. It looked like a war zone, and I'm appalled to say all they do is play or roam the hallways all day. The classrooms that had kids were straight pandemonium. Every class I went to, nobody had control of them. Cats had no heart. In fact, it was so dark you'd have been scared if you had a bat and you were Joe Clark. Foul speech abounds. Wild leeches frowned. Vile leaders even sneak around in the teacher's lounge. Looked in the courtyard, saw some burning crosses. Interrupted, I heard curses tossed from the nurse's office. I'm not sure what developed there, but heard something about students on welfare, denied health care. Many of the girls were already impregnated. Cafeteria segregated, people separated. In fact, it was legislated. Most could not compete. And sadly, only the rich kids got to eat. The poor kids and orphans were tossed the smallest portions, and that's just a portion. I saw even more sin. Went to an assembly in the auditorium. The kids were in a frenzy. They booed the valedictorian. The student government, indeed, was full of pride. The class president was selling weed on the side. Impropriety was common with a lot of variety, and there was no honor even on the honor society. They were full of great schemes, even the debate team. Girls were taking Slim Fast. Boys were up in gym class. Ironically, attendance was packed for all sports. In class, they fall short. They're at the basketball courts. They're building more jails than schools. You do the math. I won't even mention what I saw in the computer lab. At the end of the day, half the school was in detention. And that's not to mention those who were out on suspension. I walked around to see anything extracurricular. Most kids had left. There was nothing in particular. One thing caught my attention that I would call shocking. In the Bible club, a girl was teaching false doctrine. I went to the principal's office to meet the principal. But found the principal.
principle to be a man of few principles. And yet he has fans. He says he has plans for advancing the Badlands. Bad chance. On my way out, corner of my eye happened to glance. The Ten Commandments were tossed in the trash can. So that concludes my report, dear superintendent. A school like this, it just can't be what you had intended. And since I can't see it being built up from the ground, therefore my recommendation is to shut it down. 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 Shut it down.
I believe the kids call that hip-hop. Yeah, shut it down, eh? Light shines in shining in darkness. God has shown himself in his creation, but we've rejected him from his creation. We think we know best, and we've put ourselves in his place. And as a result, we've wrecked our own little worlds, and we've wrecked the big wide world also as humanity. And if you think, just as there would be consequences involving human ideas of justice, if I had actually treated those children's work like that, there's going to be consequences involving divine or godlike ideas of justice for rejecting him. Okay, so I might get a slap on the wrist if I treated children's work like that. Might get parent complaints. The best case scenario is I'd lose trust from the kids. But if we reject, and that's just me rejecting a kid's drawing. But if we reject God from his creation, then the Bible calls it, the two most popular words in the Bible are death and judgment. Hebrews, let me give you a verse from Hebrews 9:27. And because we've rejected God, because we've done things our own way, it says this: people are destined to die once, and after that, face the music. It doesn't say face the music. People are destined to die once, and after that, face the consequences of their rejection. It doesn't say that, actually, either. It says people are destined to die once, and after that, face judgment. But it means those things. It means there's consequences. There's natural consequences for living in God's world and rejecting him from it. And this is where we get to the second present. So the first present was like, do you remember a joke when you were kids, which was like, good news, cans of Coke free, straws 50p, oh, like that. Well, this is a little bit like the other way around. This is the ray bit. Second present is rescue from the consequences, and a light to shine into the darkness that we've made. Flick back to John. The light that shines in the darkness. Made creation, we've rejected it and made it dark, and what do we get? A light that shines in the darkness that we've made. And this is why Christians love Jesus and love that he died on the cross, which is a weird thing to say. It's a little bit, it's kind of like celebrating a brutal execution. So we still have, I think, the electric chair still used in the States, and we wouldn't kind of have images of that knocking about and celebrate that or go to watch that or, you know, talk about that, because it's grim. Jesus dying on the cross, again, culturally, was really grim. We celebrate and we love it. And here's why. The Bible calls our rejection of God sin. Sin isn't doing a naughty thing. Sin is rejecting God. And because we reject God, we end up doing loads of naughty things. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So just like when you go to work and you earn money, if you reject God, you earn death. So you earn money from a job, you earn death from rejecting God, you earn death and judgment. But Jesus never rejected God. He always did things God's way. He never once lied, stole, or cheated, or made snide comments about his extended family, or work colleagues, or looked at the kind of things that you sometimes look at when you think you shouldn't, or think the things that you think when you really know you shouldn't. He never did any of that. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:22, no sin was found in him. That means he never rejected God in anything, even the tiniest thing. So this is where you need to switch back on for a little bit of logic. So Jesus doesn't earn death, right? Our rejection earns us death. Jesus doesn't earn death because he didn't reject God. So he doesn't die, right? That's fair, isn't it? But it's wrong. He dies on a cross about 2,000 years ago. So why? Whose sin, whose rejection, whose consequences was he hanging there like a piece of meat bleeding and dying for? Hebrews 9:27, again, it goes on. So just as people are destined to die once, and after that face the music, face the consequences, face judgment, so Jesus was sacrificed once to take away the consequences, to face the music for you, to take the judgment of many people. So whose rejection and sin was he dying on the cross for? Yours and mine. That's why we love it. Who's dying for anyone's? Have a look down in John to verse 11. He wasn't just dying for yours and mine, for anyone's. It says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. They rejected him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name. His name is Jesus. It means God saves. All you've got to do is believe it. So do you reject God in your life? Or when do you reject God in your life? Or is your life built around rejecting God? Or is your life built around not rejecting God? Do you believe that you need saving? I'm not saying are you a Christian. I'm saying do you believe you need saving? Do you need rescuing from your sin? Do you believe that God saves, just like his name says? And will you receive Jesus to save you? If the answer is no, then you're rejecting. There's no middle bit. Well, I'm not sure. Will you receive Jesus to save you? That's the second present. It's the best one. The first one, we stuffed it up. So we get another one. We get another chance. We get another light shining in the darkness. Now, I've got here at this point, what are we going to do with the second present? I should be receiving three presents at this point. Has somebody got a present with a number one on it? These are our choices of what we do with God's second present of Jesus to rescue us. Here comes the first one. I just did this because I like getting presents. So here's the first present.
Here you go, John's present for you.
Don't want it. All right. Take it away, please. Can you go away?
Picks it specially for you.
I know, but I don't want it. Get lost.
Scott, like, rain tears on and everything.
Yeah, I hear you, but go away.
You will really love it.
You're just kind of getting in my way. Come
on. Just leave it there for you.
You can do, yeah, thanks, yeah. Bit of pantomime. Christmas isn't Christmas without a bit of pantomime. That's what you can do, though. That's what you can do with God's gift of Jesus. You can do that if you want. You can not even open it. You can reject God from his world. You can reject his rescue. And you can face the music yourself. That's what you can do. Maybe that's what you are doing. Good luck with that. Or what else can you do? Who's got a present with a number two on? Oh, yeah, here we go. Is that for me? Thank you. Oh, that's great. Can I show everybody? Look at this. Oh, love presents. Oh, look at this. It's my hat. Thank you. I'm never going to take that off. Brilliant. Thank you. That's great. That's our other option. We can accept it. We can let God change who we are into who we should be. And we can not face the consequences ourselves, but trust Jesus to take them for us. And we can live life as God's child with him as our loving father. Brilliant. Now, I've got a third present. Now, I don't know if this is accepting or rejecting. I'll leave that to you to decide. Who's got a third present for me? Awesome. Oh, great. I like this one. Thank you. Not sticking around to see what it is. See what this one is. It's just all about the presents. Oh, brilliant. It's them gloves. My gloves. They're fingerless, but have a pocket over the top of them. That's great. Brilliant. Thank you. I've got loads of gloves, though, so I'm just going to keep them over there. And what I'll do is I'll wear them probably on Sundays, maybe some other days too. Awesome. I wonder if you're a Christian, if you're a bit like me, if you're in danger of undervaluing sometimes the gift of Jesus that we get. I mean, how accepted do you think those gloves feel? Not as accepted as this hat. Well, you've been very patient. We've rejected God from his creation. Will we reject his rescue as well? Will we reject his rescue? And will we rescue ourselves and make ourselves better away from something else? Or will you let Jesus shine into the darkest corners of your life and rescue you? Will you stop running away from God and doing things your own way? Some of you are going, no, I won't. Please. Will you receive and believe in the gift of Jesus to rescue you? It's hard to believe in Jesus. I find it hard every day. One of the best prayers, one of my favourite prayers in the Bible, is a guy that says, I want to believe, I can't, help me to believe. Pray that. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die in your place so you don't have to face the consequences for what you've done and what you're like. It's a gift. It's a present. Will you accept it? Let me pray. And then we're going to sing. Father God, we have rejected you and we do reject you in your world. And we're sorry for the times when we think we know best and we just want to do things our own way. Thank you for making a way for us to be rescued from death and judgment. Jesus, thank you for being willing to die on the cross for us. Please help us to believe it. And please help us to receive you fully into our lives, not just where we choose to. Amen.
Great, thank you, John. We started by singing, Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness. Here I Am to Worship. And we're finishing by singing a song which is all about crowning Jesus as our King. That's what worship looks like. We said that we were going to start by worshipping. That's what we've been doing, but we're going to continue to do that as we sing, as we head out. And some of the words that crop up in this first verse in particular pick up on some of the ideas that John's been drawing our attention to. Jeff, can we have the first verse up, please? Awake my soul and sing of him who died to be. That's the Lord Jesus, who came and lived amongst us, the one who created the rolling spheres, him who died to be your saviour and your matchless king. That means God's present to us. Will he be our matchless king this new year? Let's stand and let's sing. Please take a seat.